The Kinship of Catholics and Jews is a program sponsored by the Institute of Judeo-Christian Studies, Seton Hall University. I'm Father Lawrence Frizzell. I'm the director of the Institute and moderator of this program. With me today is Dr. Murray Watson, who is a friend from many years. He's working in Ontario at the present time, but has had many adventures in Jewish-Christian relations over the decades. So I welcome you, Dr. Murray Watson. Tell us a little bit about your work and then some of the experiences you've had in Catholic-Jewish relations.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Father Frizzell. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you today. My name is Murray Watson, and I am speaking to you from Barrie, Ontario, which is where I work for the Simcoe Muskoka Catholic District School Board as the adult faith animator. Now, that may not make an awful lot of sense to folks in the United States, but here in Canada, we often use the term animator for people who have a leadership role. It comes from the Latin anima, soul. So it's someone who tries to give soul or give energy to something. So in my work here, we have about 3,500 staff with the Catholic School Board, and I try to do whatever I can to promote spiritual growth and development to help them go more deeply into their own faith journeys. So I've been here, this month actually marks 5 years that I've been working here. In terms of my work in Jewish Christian relations, I actually kind of fell into it unexpectedly. I was a student at the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome from 1998 to 2002, and several of my professors there were specialists in rabbinic literature and Jewish biblical interpretation, and one of them, Dr. Joseph Sievers, noticed that I was really enjoying some of the courses that he taught, and he said, "You really seem to be into this," and I said, "Yeah, it's exciting. I've never learned anything of this before." So he said, "There's someone I need you to meet." So he walked me a couple of blocks away to a center called CIDIC, the Service International de Documentation Judéo-Chrétienne, the Jewish Christian Documentation Center that had been set up in the wake of Vatican II by the Sisters of Sion, who are an international order of Roman Catholic women religious, one of whose charisms is to promote Jewish Christian relations. And they had a center in the middle of Rome where they had been documenting Jewish Christian relations and organizing Jewish Christian education for decades. And it just turned out that the two sisters who were running it at that point were both Canadians, Sister Lucy Thorson and Sister Margaret McGrath, both of them from Western Canada. We became really good friends. I started volunteering there. I attended all their lectures, went on some of their walking tours, helped them with their website. And they really opened up the whole, between my studies at the Biblical Institute and my contact with the Sisters of Sion, that opened me up to a whole new world in terms of Judaism, Jewish-Christian relations, the Jewish study of the Bible. And that really launched my life and my ministry in a whole different direction. I'm very, very grateful to the sisters. They, for those of you who work in Jewish Christian relations, they are no strangers. They have been leaders in that field for decades, but they've also been wonderful friends to me and mentors and teachers. And everywhere that I've gone in my studies, the Sisters of Sion have been there, and I've had the privilege of collaborating with them in that work.
And of course, I have a similar reflection, because back in 1965, it was in the context of my studies at the Biblical Institute that I met the Sisters of Sion. And in January 66, they started the preparation for the publication of documents that would relate to Jewish-Christian relations throughout the world. Since there were Sisters of Sion in five continents, they became the group that brought together all of the inspiration that was flowing from the work of Cardinal Bea and the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. So indeed, this work of the Sisters of Sion has been very important for us, and we find that the personal touch that people give to their work certainly gives a makes a profound impression. And so we are grateful to the sisters and the fathers of Sion for the work which they've done over the decades.
Now, you would know, because you know that history, Father Frizzell, you would know that the sisters actually played the role of a catalyst in the development of Nostra Aetate. There were times during Vatican II when it seemed like the document that became Nostra Aetate was going to fail, it had become too politically controversial, and at certain points it was withdrawn from discussion. And the Sisters of Sion, especially in France, were very concerned that it might die on the order paper. And so they organized their sisters and local theologians to prepare dossiers of materials and to go to bishops across France to educate them about the importance of the topic and about the document. They did it in a very systematic, very thoughtful manner. And they really educated many of the bishops in Europe about the importance of Jewish-Christian relations and helped them to understand why this was a document that could not be ignored. And that was one of the factors that led some of the bishops to vote in favor of Nostra Aetate, in 1965 when it was finally promulgated.
Yes, and of course, the pioneering work that they did was something that Cardinal Bea, when he addressed them at a conference that he gave, he said that if the Sisters of Sion weren't there, we'd have to invent them.
That's beautiful.
To do that work, especially the work of documentation that you mentioned in Siddiq, which has been succeeded, of course, with modern technology, with the websites and so on, but especially the website at Boston College for the Council of Centers for Christian-Jewish Relations. And that council has taken up the task of continuing the publication of Siddiq on the internet with the studies in Jewish Christian relations as an online journal. And part of at the beginning of that, of course, Sister Audrey Ditzel from Saskatchewan was one of the people who worked diligently to bring that about. So we have a good memory of the contribution of Sisters of Sion, Fathers of Sion, but especially those Canadians who did their part were influential, especially for yourself and myself. We are grateful for that. Now, your work in Catholic Jewish relations then involved a period of time in Jerusalem. You were there for quite some time and worked with, with Bat Kol, right?
I've been there a number of times, both as a student and as a teacher. I was initially there in the 2001 school year when I was a student at the Biblicum, but unfortunately, that was a time during the last Intifada when there were almost no students in Jerusalem, which of course gave me the work to my benefit because it gave me the opportunity to explore Jerusalem on foot when there were almost no tourists. So I got to know Jerusalem very, very well at that point. I then returned in 2004-2005 to begin some doctoral studies at the École Biblique with the Dominican Fathers. And then I went back a number of times, both with the Bat Kol program, which was organized by Sister Maureena Fritz, one of the Sisters of Sion, but also the work of the Center for Biblical Formation that the Sisters of Sion have run for 40 years from the Ecce Homo guest house, one of their communities in Jerusalem attached to the Ecce Homo Basilica on the Via Dolorosa. So for 40 years now, they just celebrated their 40th anniversary this year. They have been offering programs of biblical formation there in English and French at different times in Spanish and Portuguese. But the specificity of their program there is that it looks at the Bible through the lens of Judaism. It helps Christians to understand the Bible with the help of Jewish scholars and Jewish sources. It puts a lot of emphasis on the Jewish festivals and holy times. So for a lot of Christians who come to Jerusalem, this is all completely new, but the sisters have a whole network of friends who are scholars and community leaders who come and who help the students to understand Judaism as it is lived in the state of Israel and as it is lived today. So I had the opportunity to work for a number of years at Ecce Homo with the French Biblical program there and to network with the different groups that the sisters are part of. So I've had over the years, probably 5 or 6 years of my life have been spent in and around Jerusalem as a student and as a teacher. And I can't wait to get back as soon as opportunities provide themselves.
Yes, well, that's great to share with you on this experience over the decades of contacting some of the influential people in promoting understanding of Catholic-Jewish relations. And then the point that is made often in Jerusalem, in among the Bat Kol community, those who are promoting the study of the Bible in the land, so that the implications of being there in the land of Israel during the time that one is engaged in personal and deep study is really enormously enriching. Now, Dr. Watson, you have also completed a doctoral dissertation on a Jewish scholar who was known to me over the decades from his translations of the Hebrew Bible into French, and then because of his collaboration with an important Jewish historian called Jules Isaac. We'll come back to him, I'm sure.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the way that you entered into your doctoral dissertation and how you have focused on one scholar whose work has had an enormous impact in various fields.
Well, thank you. Well, that scholar is André Chouraqui, who was born in 1917 and died in 2007. I stumbled across him quite unexpectedly. When I was first in Jerusalem in 2001, the École Biblique where I was studying, its library was under renovation and expansion. And so all of the library had been boxed up and put into storage. And we had to spread out across the city to find other biblical and theological libraries that we could work with for our courses. And because most of my courses were being taught in French, I was looking for French material. My background studies have all been in French. So I found in the library of the Biblical Institute, the Jesuit Pontifical Biblical Institute in Jerusalem, I found a set of Chouraqui's writings, and especially his magnum opus, which was called The Universe of the Bible, L'Univers de la Bible, which he published in the, that edition of it he published in the 1980s. And I was just amazed. I thought, I've never heard of this man, but he had made his own translation of the Bible. And then alongside it, he had provided an extensive commentary on the meanings of the words, the cultural and historical background to the text that he was translating. And particularly how some of the traditions of reading in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam intersected with each other and overlapped. It was a remarkable, remarkable find. And the more I delved into it, the more I thought, this man is absolutely amazing. Why have I never heard about him before? So I used him as a basis for some of my coursework at the École Biblique, but I kept him in the back of my mind. And when the time came a few years later for me to start my doctoral work, I realized that there was almost nothing about him available in English. He published, I think, 40 books in French. His books have been translated into 12 or 14 languages, but very little of his material was available in English. Very few English scholars knew of him. And I thought this might be an opportunity for me to make a contribution by sharing his insights. So who was André Chouraqui? And his background is kind of important to understand what he did in his life. He was born in Algeria, which at the time was a French colony, a colony of France. And his family were Sephardic Jews who had come in the 1300s to North Africa from Spain. So his family had been there at that point for more than 500 years. As he said, we were as Arab as the Arabs. Arabic was his first language, followed by Hebrew and Aramaic. He came from a very devout family that did Bible study in Hebrew and Aramaic, studying the Talmud, studying Jewish texts. And then eventually he went to French Catholic schools, so he learned French. So he said from the time he was a child, he always had various different cultures intersecting in his mind. He was living as a Jew in a predominantly Muslim country, which was under French Catholicism at that point. His education was in French. And then he grew up, went to Paris, to the Sorbonne, to do his studies, was amazed at, you know, all the Christian culture that he encountered there, but had basically given up on his faith. The French school system was very aggressively secular. And so by the time he was done high school, he had basically given up on religion, thought it was old fashioned, thought it was passé. While he was in Paris as a student, the shadow of Nazism began to spread across Europe in the 1930s when he was a student. And he said, if Hitler wants to kill me for being Jewish, I want to make sure I know what being Jewish means. So he enrolled at the Rabbinic Seminary in Paris, did several years of study there before it was eventually closed when the Nazis arrived in Paris. They shut it down and they scattered the professors. Some of the professors joined the French underground, and Chouraki joined the French underground, continued doing his studies informally in the underground. But also two kind of important moments in that. He reacquainted himself, he reconnected with a former friend of his who was the Algerian, later French philosopher Albert Camus. The two of them were contemporaries. They had been friends as young men. They reconnected and had some really in-depth conversations in the French underground at night. Chouraki gave a lot of background to Camus about the biblical concept of plagues, which formed some of the thinking that went into his masterpiece, The Plague. So the two of them were very involved and kind of supported each other as Algerians in exile. But also during the war, he was serving as a go-between, bringing false papers and food to various Jewish refugees. And one of the refugees that he was asked to help and support was the prominent French Jewish historian Julie Zak, who in many ways is kind of the grandfather of contemporary Jewish Christian relations. Isaac was on the run from the Nazis. He had been quite a prominent historian and government figure who was dismissed by the Nazi government. And so he worked throughout the war trying to understand the Christian hatred of Jews as a historian. And his friends would bring him research materials. And during the war, he worked on researching and understanding why so many Christians were so hostile to Jews. And he and Chouraki became friends during the war. And then after the war, the two of them were some of the founders of what became the Amitié Judéo-Chrétienne in France, the Jewish Christian Friendship Associations that Isaac started setting up after the war to try and counter the Christian hostility and misunderstanding of Judaism. And Chouraki was one of his early collaborators. They were in the days after the war was finished, they were already writing back and forth about how can we help Christians to understand Judaism so that this kind of a catastrophe will never happen again. So he was involved very, very early on in the birth of what became modern Christian Jewish relations. He and Judy Zak were friends until Isaac's death in, I think, 1963. So he was there at the beginning of that whole campaign, but he was grappling with the question of what can we do to make sure that this can never happen again? Why was it that during the war, nobody cared that I was Jewish? He said, in the French underground, we were all just comrades. So that was the vision that he brought with him and that inspired him for the rest of his life. After the war, he did graduate studies at the Sorbonne in international law. His PhD was actually, I think, the first doctorate ever awarded in the legal aspects of the establishment of the State of Israel in 1949. And from that point on, the rest of his life was interwoven with Jewish-Christian relations and Jewish-Christian-Muslim relations, because of course he had a lived experience of Islam growing up in North Africa.
And so this is thank you for an overview of a remarkable life. There are some other aspects that we'll unpack as we go along.
Sure.
You were able to do your doctoral dissertation, now it's almost ready for publication, I understand. Tell us a little bit about your dissertation and how.
Well, Shiraki lived, a very rich life on a lot of different levels. He was a politician. He was in the cabinet of David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, and knew him very well and was part of some really interesting discussions with him. And then he went on to become deputy mayor of Jerusalem alongside Teddy Kollek for 8 years from 1965 to 1973. So the middle part of his life was largely on the political stage. He was very involved both nationally and internationally as a politician. But his great passion had always been the Bible. As a young man in the 1950s, he had published some prize-winning translations of books of the Bible, and he had always wanted to go back to that. And as time went by, his experience in interreligious dialogue was infused into that interest. He wanted to prepare a translation of the Bible into French that would both enable different religions to come together and constructively discuss the Bible so that it could be a source of unity rather than a cause of division. But he also felt that most of the translations that he had grown up with were inadequate. They didn't capture what he saw as some of the playfulness of Hebrew, but also some of the deeper meanings of some of the words, and some of the names that he felt had been lost. Overall, he felt that people had become very complacent with the Bible. They assumed that because it was familiar, that they necessarily understood it. And he wanted to shake people out of that complacency and help them to realize that maybe there was more to the Bible than the traditional understandings they had grown up with. So when he finished with his work in politics in 1973, he embarked on a project that would take him until 1977 to single-handedly translate first the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, and then eventually the New Testament as well. Because he said in his work of Jewish-Christian relations, if I don't really grapple with the New Testament translating it, I will never really be able to understand some of the issues in Jewish-Christian relations that it raises. So he spent more than 3 years, almost 4 years, translating the Bible, making a remarkable new translation of the Bible that attempts to bring the Bible to life in a new way, to kind of present it in a fresh way, a very rugged way. It's not an elegant translation, which most of the French translations had been, because he wanted to adhere as closely as he could to the rhythm and the syntax and the grammar of the Hebrew. But he also wanted to try and bring out some of the word plays that he saw in the Bible that he felt no other translator had tried to bring out. So he was very much inspired by the work of Martin Buber, who had done in the 1920s and 30s, had been working on this. And so he decided he wanted to try and produce a French translation that would follow the same kind of principles. So that was what he worked on for 4 years. He produced this translation and it became a bestseller in France. Trying to bring out some of the nuances and some of the meaning of the Hebrew words, but also trying to stress the relationship of the Old and New Testaments and themes that run throughout the entire Bible so that Jews and Christians could come together around the Bible in a more constructive kind of conversation.
And so this work, which was the first stage of several other projects, which we'll deal with in another time. This work then of Andrei Shiraki, it was certainly a great inspiration for you. And tell us a little bit about your coming publication you've completed your dissertation many years ago, and now you've reworked it to bring it into another form of sharing that we hope will reach many people.
Well, I hope so. Paulist Press expressed some interest in a more popular version of my doctoral dissertation. They said, you know, Shiraki was a very interesting person, both from an interreligious perspective, but also his ideas about a certain way of translating the Bible that many scholars have embraced in the decades since. So what I've tried to do is present kind of the pith of his life and some of the things that he does in his Bible translation for an English audience. I've translated his work as best I can into English. I've tried to give some examples of some of the unique things that he does. But I also try to help people understand why he was such a unique and influential individual and how his life really intersects with some of the most important events of the last 75 years, the birth of the State of Israel, the developments in Jewish Christian relations, of which Nostra Aetate is such an important piece, and all the developments since then. Just generally how the world has changed and how he really helped to influence and move ahead the dialogue specifically between Jews and Christians, but also Jews, Christians, and Muslims. So I've tried in the book to give people an introduction to who he was and why he mattered. And for those who are interested in the Bible, to give some examples of why his translation is unique and can be really instructive for those of us who study and love the Bible, a different way of translating, and some examples that can maybe open up the Bible for us in some new and interesting ways.
So this is, I hope, going to be a very important work shared with a great number of people as we look to the immediate future. And so I congratulate you on bringing this your dissertation into a form that would reach a wide public. Now there's so much that we could continue a discussion concerning Andrei Shiraki I will ask for you to share with us again other dimensions of his work, because certainly I had known his name in relation to his Bible translation, but I'd never gone into any detailed work in this field. And so so you've really sparked an interest, and we hope that this will reach out to many, many people. So Dr. Murray Watson, I've enjoyed being with you this morning, and I'll invite you to come to be our guest again for the Kinship of Catholics and Jews.
So Thank you so much.
And we invite our listeners to be with us again next Sunday at 11 a.m.